So I always am a little bit perplexed when they give me a scripture reading that begins with, they went on from there. Because I don't know how many of you immediately went from where? Where were they? And missed the rest of what I had read. So I'm going to share with you what's going on. Jesus has been doing some amazing healings. And people have wondered, who is he? Is he Elijah? Is he John the Baptist? Who is he? And he's even spoken to his disciples, and they have claimed who he is. And then he has this great crowd that keeps following him because he seems to be doing these miraculous things, and he heals a boy with a demonic spirit. And all of this has happened. And the disciples are perplexed by what's been going on, but maybe even a little bit excited because this man, this Jesus they're following, has all these crowds. And you know where they are? They're in that inner circle. People know their names because they know who Jesus is. They know that that's Peter and that's James and that's John and there's Andrew. They're known because of the company that they're keeping. But Jesus is trying to explain to them what it's exactly who he is and what he has been called to do in the world. So the scripture this morning begins as they leave the crowds because Jesus wants to get alone with his disciples because he's recognizing these men are just not getting it. They don't quite understand what I'm telling them. So what do we do when we don't want to hear what we're being told? Because it's not necessarily that they couldn't understand him. It's they didn't want to understand him. So what do we do? Do we get a little distracted? Do we choose to be distracted? Do we begin to whisper to each other and have these sidebar conversations while the teacher's talking or the preacher's preaching or whatever is happening? Because we don't like what we're hearing, so we're going to start talking about something else. Well, that's what they did. They didn't like what they were hearing. So they began to talk very loudly to each other. And we know very well, when we do that, even John can hear us. Right? So, there they are talking about who's the greatest. Does Jesus like Peter best? No, Jesus likes John best. Did you see what James did? And that person that knew my name, I'm going to be known. So they were having that conversation that they were hoping Jesus didn't hear, while Jesus is trying to explain to them the enormity of his life, death, and resurrection. While he is trying to explain to them that he has to die on the cross so that the world might be saved, that he's not coming with a sword and a shield to wear a crown. He's going to wear a crown of thorns. That's what he's trying to explain while that is going on in the background. So they get to Capernaum. And they get that question that they probably didn't want to get. What were you arguing about on the way? They got caught. They know what they were arguing about. They know how Jesus is going to feel about what they were arguing about. So what were they? Silent. I think that's what I would be too, is silent. So no one tells him, if you notice that in the scripture, not a soul said to him, Jesus, we were talking about who gets the seat on the right and the seat on the left. No one says that, but he sits them down. And I can you imagine, it actually says he sat down. So I imagine he's asked them the question, he's got silence, and he does that thing that we hate. He quietly sits down, and when someone quietly sits down in front of us after we've done something wrong, don't we know the lecture's coming? So he sits down, and he says to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And I don't know if you would be as confused. But don't you think at this point the disciples are a little confused? What's he saying now? First off, he's got to die, and now we have to be last? You mean those two seats aren't ours? And then he brings the child in. Now for us, when we talk about the value of a child, and we bring a baby up for christening, well, no, we bring the baby up for baptism. I just wanted to share that. We don't christen in the United Methodist Church. We baptize our babies. But we talk about the value, the wonder of this created infant, this living, breathing child that is in our midst. That is our understanding of a child. When Jesus was talking to them and he brought in that child would be like cattle. The child didn't have value in the home until the child was an adult. The child would have been, I think the scripture even uses it, taking it in his arms. The child would be an it, not a him, not a her, but an it. And he's saying, this child that you do not value is as important to God as the king on a throne. And when you accept something that you claim has no value into your community, into your body, when you accept it into the body of Christ, into the family of God, you're accepting God. That's what he told them. That was the lecture they received. So I want us to think about that. I want us to think about how we get distracted from the mission that God has placed upon our hearts, which is to welcome everybody into the body of Christ, to see everyone who we encounter as valuable to God, and to be the hands and feet for God wherever we are called to go. What are the distractions that keep us from doing that? Now, we could immediately go to, oh, it's those electronic things people hold on to. But Jesus wasn't talking about external distractions. He wasn't talking about our televisions or the internet or the latest iPhone that's out there or the latest whatever that you find on Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. He was talking about internal distractions. He was talking about the things that get in our way for being true disciples of Christ. One of them that the disciples were dealing with was pride, wasn't it?
I'm Peter, I'm James, I'm John, I'm important because I'm at the right hand or left hand of God, Jesus.
How do we do that? And I'm going to use the disaster as an example. How do we do that as denominations or even nonprofit agencies? Oh, I give to the Red Cross, or I give to the Salvation Army, or I'm a United Methodist, and I'm of course there at the beginning, and we'll be there when everybody's left. Or I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to tell you what we're doing as a church to deal with the... When do we allow our own pride of our own organizations get in the way of our organization doing the work that God has called us to do? When does it become all about us and less about God? When is pride one of those distractions that prevents us from being one body together to solve the problems of Vance County, to solve the problems maybe even more closely of Henderson or Franklin County or North Carolina or wherever God has called us to be? When is pride the thing that prevents us from tearing down walls, building bridges, so that together we become one body and Christ can transform that community by transforming us? Or is another distraction that we have fear? I know that some colleagues of mine, some clergy, went down to Bellhaven to work on a church that got flooded out. And they began working on some homes around the church. And some of them were afraid because there were snakes in the water. You know, so there's real fears that when we go to do some work, we're going to go into a place of danger. And does fear distract us from when God's calling us to that place? Not all of us are called there, but the ones who are called, does fear sometimes get in our way? And we say, no, not me. Don't send me, Lord. Or is it fear of the other? When we go to a feeding program and we are bringing a meal, and the people that we're bringing a meal to, do we see them as less than? We're afraid because we don't know them because they're dirty and they're maybe not the same color as we are. And maybe something is in that backpack that could harm us. So you go feed them, I'll cook the meal. When does fear prevent us from being the hands and feet that God has called us to be? But there's another one that I've been experiencing this past week that I need to tell you about. Mine is a little bit around envy. I don't know if you've ever dealt with envy issues. And it's kind of odd to say that in the midst of disaster, you might be envious. But I have seen my colleagues and I've seen laity that are United Methodists going out and doing all this work in these places that need help, seeing them be the body of Christ. And I've envied them because look at that work they're doing. Have you ever been kind of slapped like Jesus slapped the disciples? Jesus slapped me, and he slapped me hard because this is the work I'm called to. I'm not called to wear a green shirt that says North Carolina disaster response. I'm not called to be in places where disaster is happening. I'm called to be in a community that needs to know there in this place is someone who is there, is a phone call away when you need her, is able to speak and be with the people I've called her to be with. That the work of presence, the work of remaining in place, of remaining in the midst of arguments, of remaining in the midst of disagreements, and remaining in the midst of growing and fighting and being just people, God's presence needs to be there. And that is as important as being in the midst of knee-deep water, helping someone reclaim their home. Because I'm thinking of all those who rush to deal with the fire, just as Jesus went for the one that was lost, but then the 99 are left. Who's with the 99? So when we wonder about what it means to be the servant of all, to be last of all, it means to value every moment of your day in every person you come in contact with, so that they know that they are God's beloved children. And they know that if they reach out their hand, your hand is there to be held. That they know that if you have a need, they will respond. Whether it's sending food to Acts or sending food to Atlantic, or whether it's sitting with someone who had her 91st birthday and a member of Church Plank Chapel was there celebrating it with her. They need to know God is real. And how they know that is because we make God real for them. So my heart got strangely kicked by God because my distraction from doing God's work was envy. I don't know what God is using or what distraction is being in your life that is preventing you from being used by God. But the disciples certainly had pride. I had envy. I can't name yours, but there will be time at the altar that you might want to name it with God. So, Whoever wants to be the first must be last of all and servant of all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.